Today is Wednesday, December 27th, or 10th day of the month of Tevet. This is the women's Mishnah or Gemara Shir. We're in the middle of 8th Perek of Maseches Chulin. Okay, Rabotai. 2 weeks ago, when we learned Gemara, or last week, we focused on a sugya that was an offshoot of one of the laws of our perek. Our perek is primarily dealing with guidelines of kashrut, and we've spent quite a bit of time on that. However, the Gemara discussed netilat yadayim for chulin and for truma due to the fact that one of the things that are required is when you have meat and you want to then handle cheese, so there are a couple of mishnayos that handle this. The sugya of netilat yadayim is fully fleshed out in this parak, and I wanted to do again tonight one other extension of the mitzvah of netilat yadayim as it relates to two things. Number one, is one obligated to engage in netilat yadayim if you're feeding a child and holding the bread, or is it only to the person who's eating it? And number two, does netilat yadayim at all, under any circumstances, take place on Yom HaKippurim? Even though we know that we do, but we're going to see there's a machlokes rishonim about this, whether or not you should wash your hands at all on Yom HaKippurim day. So again, it's in this particular perek, due to the fact that I mentioned once in netilat yadayim, so the Gemara decided this is a good place to talk about every aspect of netilat yadayim. So the Gemara says, it's bracketed on page number one, in the middle of Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Bet, Ibayiluhu Ma'achil Tzarich Netilat Yadayim Olo. Ma'achil, if you are feeding somebody, does this require Netilat Yadayim or not? Does it require Netilat Yadayim or not? So the Gemara is going to try to prove it from the following statement. Toshma, come and listen. Ditani debei Menashe, a braita was formulated in the school of Menashe, stating the following. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Isha madicha et yada achat bamayim, v'notenet pat libna katan. A mother or a, should wash one hand on Yom Kippur, and then she will go ahead and what? Feed her child. Feed her child.
It goes back to why we're washing hands. If you're washing hands for the cleanliness thing.
Okay, so that's exactly what we're going to see. Amru Alav Al Shammai Hazakeh. It has been stated about Shammai the elder. Shelo Ratza Laha Achil Biyado Achat. He did not want to, apparently, he was assigned the chore of what? Feeding his grandchildren. And he did not want to wash even one hand on Yom Kippur. V'gazru alav shiyachil b'shtei yadav, and they decreed upon him, listen, Mr. Shammai, you're going to use two hands to feed this child, and we're going to make you wash both hands because you don't want to wash any.
How do we know we're talking about Yom Kippur?
Because we know. because Rashi says so.
Okay.
Yes.
I got the feeling that he
was concerned about the Isra of Rechitza on Yom Kippur, and therefore he endangered the welfare of his child, of his grandchild, because he was the Zaken, maybe when he was a father. So he did this as a child. He was reluctant to handle the food so that he would protect the dignity of Yom HaKippurim according to his understanding. The rabbis were so upset with him that they decreed, you have to wash both of your hands.
even though in theory washing one of them might have been enough, but to impress upon him how wrong he was. So if you were to just read this particular braita, what conclusion would you reach concerning in general? If you took a piece of bread to feed your 2-year-old baby, do you have to wash?
Yes.
Of course
yes.
You do. Good. So in order to answer your question, let's read Rashi. I should have bracketed the Rashi. The Rashi is about 10 lines from the bottom of the Rashi on the left-hand side. It's the bold caption, Isha Madicha Yada Bamayim. Everybody have that?
Yeah.
Good. Says Rashi V'Yom Kippurim. That's how I know it's Yom Kippur. Okay, I didn't make it up. The Afal Pi She'asur Berechitza, even though Yom HaKippurim is a day prohibited in washing your hands, Heitira Le'isha Lahadiach Yada Achat V'Liga V'Pat. They allowed a mother, a woman, to wash one hand and hold the bread with that one hand. With that one hand. Okay. Now, just what?
Because
she's probably the one who's going to feed the child.
Probably. But it was Rabbi, what's his name?
But Shammai HaZakeh, see, he was not the, right? He didn't let his wife do it. He wanted to do it. Shelo Ratz, next Rashi, Shelo Ratza l'ha'achil b'yado achat. Afilu yado achat lo ratza l'hadiach. Kidei litain pat latinok b'yom HaKippurim. He did not even want to wash one hand in order to enable him to hold the bread and feed his child on Yom Kippur. Umoneya milha achilo. And he withheld food from him. Why didn't he give him something you don't have to wash? I don't know. But don't forget, bread was considered the staple of every single meal. That was when they said pas ba melech tochal, they spoke from experience. That's what you ate. Bread and a little salt. And that's it. Alma, but from this particular story, says Rashi, ma'achil sarich netila. Now that would come as a surprise to us. If someone had asked me before we opened up Gemara and asked you, is there any hava amina that you would suggest that if you are not eating bread, just handling the bread and feeding somebody else, that you would require netilat yadayim? Why would that be? So let me ask you this. Do you think the Gemara is considering seriously that if you're making a tuna fish sandwich, or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or a jelly and peanut butter sandwich, that you would have to wash simply to make the sandwich? Do you think the Gemara would go that far? No. So then why is the Gemara raising this question? If you would acknowledge that mere handling of the food does not require netilat yadayim, and I agree with your instinct, the Gemara is not asking that question. That if I handle bread, because I'm making a sandwich, so I have to wash. So why is the Gemara asking the question? Why is the Gemara asking the question? Because we know that the Takana of Netilat Yadayim was made for eating bread. Okay, for eating bread. So why is the Gemara asking this question now? Why is the Gemara asking the question? If we know that it's being made for eating bread. So give me the answer, what you think. Yes?
Is it the concept just of the tino, maybe? Like that the tino can't do it? Like you know whoever's eating on Yom Kippur is not
going to
make the
rock? Let's assume it wasn't Yom Kippur for just a moment. Good. But let's assume it's not Yom Kippur. There's no halachic isur of washing your hands. The Gemara is not asking initially whether or not you're obligated to wash your hands on Yom Kippur only. The Gemara is asking a much broader question. Are you obligated when you are ma'achil? The Gemara's resolution is you must be obligated because they even demanded that what? that you wash it on Yom Kippur. If they demanded that you wash your hands on Yom Kippur, there must be a requirement for eating, for making the Tzedakah Kedan. So why? Why is the Gemara considering that on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, if I am ma'achil, why would I somehow demand the Tzedakah Kedan?
So your tuma is in your hand, and now you're putting it into the child's mouth, so your hand might come in contact with the child's mouth and the bread.
Good. So let's operate with what we said last week. What was the purpose of Netilat Yadayim?
It's either for cleanliness or tumah.
So let's operate, of course, with the tumah issue. So whose benefit did we say do we have to watch for? Whose benefit?
The Kohanim.
Correct. To alert Kohanim. So it is possible that the way the Takana was framed by Shlomo HaMelech Ubet Dino, Shlomo HaMelech made this Takana, that the Takana was framed in the following fashion. Any time bread is eaten, Netilat Yadayim is required. Not any time you eat bread. Any time Netilat Yadayim, any time bread is consumed, eaten. Not handled, but eaten.
So some random person has to wash their hands?
Good. No. The person who is hand, who is enabling the eat, as long as it's being eaten, we now have to. And it would not only apply to a minor. Let's assume I want to be cute and feed you, right? I would have to. That's the Gemara's real question. It's not the normal case would be a minor. But the Gemara is not asking only for the minor situation. It's asking in general. If someone is eating, but that person who is feeding the person does not touch the food, I would ask you the question. If it would be an adult, who has to wash? The person eating or the person handling the bread? What would I... The person's going to sit there like this. And being fed.
We would have said
the person eating. Correct. The Gemara is asking the question, is it possible that it's not necessarily related to the person eating, but the person who's enabling the act of eating? Normally we enable the act of eating for ourselves. It's a very unusual question. That's what the Gemara is asking. I don't know what triggered the Gemara to ask such a question. But the fact that it's asking the question is, we have to, and it's trying to resolve it from the Yom Kippur situation, is apparently the Gemara is taking it seriously. That I could have defined the obligation of Tilak Yadayim, not necessarily for the person who is eating necessarily, but the enabler of someone who eats has to engage in the Tilak Yadayim. Yes?
And I'll just take it one step further then regarding, would it be then a bracha levatala? There's sometimes brahmotzi that sometimes people do just feed the other person. I'm wondering if that means it's incorrect based on what you're saying, if you end up...
That if what?
And I could wash, say, a bracha, but to be cute, sometimes somebody puts the bread chal in my mouth. Like I'm just holding soup. I don't know, whatever. So it happens.
Okay, so that would be the case. Okay, perfect. So you've lived those.
There's something wrong. You're weak.
Okay, fine.
What if you did something? You brought the utensils, so you weren't coming in contact with the bread.
Okay, that is a different sugya. That happens to be the other sugya that I mentioned. That's talking about holding the bread with a napkin. There is a whole sugya about that. We were learned in the third grade that if you don't hold the bread directly with a
wrapper,
with the wrapper, you don't have to wash. And it happens every time we used to be in camp and go on these hikes and you didn't have water available. That's another sugya. A page away. That's another sugya they talk about.
I'm thinking based on the tumma thing, you could transfer your tumma, like we're talking about making the avatam, all those levels. So if I touch the fork, then my tumma goes to the fork and lowers a level and then goes to the bread still.
Okay, but we are not concerned about tumma per se, about the consequences of tumma on our bread. Our washing has to do just as an alert for the Kohanim that they should be very careful to handle their truma with tahara.
So could you apply...
We don't care about the status of the bread.
Could you apply that same principle then,
the reason why somebody who's just handling the bread would need to potentially wash, because it's sensitizing us that there needs to always be washing before we eat the
Yes, bread? Yes, 100%.
So what is it, how many steps back does the enabling work? I mean, I'm setting the table with five rolls because there are going to be people eating.
Good. That the Gemara has not asked yet. And so, to my knowledge, doesn't ask. But you're right, you could have taken it three steps further.
Yeah, that's what
you could have. The Gemara doesn't. Yes.
Well, that's my question. I mean, you know, I'm not talking about making the sandwich in the morning before the kid gets on the bus, but you make a sandwich, you put it down in front of the person, and they immediately pick it up. How, or is it literally putting it into the person's mouth?
Here it's talking about literally putting it into something. The Gemara phrased the question, not mitaltel habred, ma'achil. You're feeding somebody else. Do you require the tilas yadayim? So the Gemara tries to prove it from this halacha concerning on Yom HaKippurim. Answers the Gemara, there is no proof whatsoever from this story of Yom Kippur. Why? Amar Abaye, Hasam Mishum Shivsa. There, the reason why you have to wash your hands on Yom Kippur is because of Shivsa. Good. I have no idea what Shivsa is. So let's take a look at Rashi. We're going to have a machloikis, Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. What exactly is Shivsa? Hasam Mishum Shivsa. I'm continuing with that Rashi. Ruach ra'a shore al yodayim shelo naklo shachris. There is an evil spirit that hovers on your hands every morning and on Yom Kippur, because we generally don't wash our hands, you're going to have to be careful about this. Avol natal yadav shachris v'lo nizar bohen u'bal ha'achil et chaveiro ein tzorich netila. When is the only case that the Gemara is claiming now that you require metilat yadayim before you handle the bread?
If
you have not washed at all on Yom Kippur. If you haven't washed at all. Now, the assumption is that you probably have not washed. The assumption is you have not washed. And if you did not wash, Rashi says, if you did not wash, then when you feed the bread to your child, you have to wash. Why? Because of this evil spirit that is on your hands and will be transferred to the bread. And as Tosfot will elaborate upon it, you are endangering your child and he might choke as a result of this evil spirit that is hovering on your hands before you wash. So now Rashi is telling us that there ain't no guarantee that you washed your hands in the morning on Yom Kippur. Let me ask you, do you wash your hands after you get up in the morning?
Yes.
On Yom Kippur?
Yes.
Good. Good. Well, Rashi did not believe that you were doing right. Correct. Rashi did not believe that you should do that. Rashi believed that the Isur of Rechitza on Yom HaKippurim includes washing Nagel Vasa. If you happen to wash for some reason, then you don't have to wash before you touch the bread. But if you didn't wash, and you may not have been obligated to wash, so therefore now when you wash your hands, when you feed the bread, you're endangering that kid. And now I know why very well, according to Rashi, why the Gemara says the prohibition is on the ma'achil. Who has to wash his hands under these circumstances? Only the person holding the bread. Now, this little shivsa, as Tosis will see, we'll read Tosis in a second. We'll see, and we'll see how Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Take a look at the Tosfot on the top of the page. Hasam Mishum Shivsa. Says Tosfos. Pireish Bekuntras. It's been explained in the pamphlet. Ruach Ra'a Shore Al Hayadayim Shelo Nitalo Shacharit. This evil spirit hovers over your hands when you don't wash in the morning. The Rabbeinu Tam Mifaresh, De below Nitinat Pat Latinok, Mutar Litol Yadav Shacharit B'Yom HaKippurim. Rabbeinu Tam has all of your backing. Rabbeinu Tam says, even without feeding bread to a child, you're allowed to wash your hands in the morning. And in fact, you should wash your hands in the morning. Dilo gora miluch lachot betit ubitsoa. It's not any worse than having your hands full of cement or excrement. If you did a diaper change and you got your hands dirty, of course you're allowed to wash your hands on Yom Kippur. Why are you allowed to wash your hands on Yom Kippur if you got your hands dirty when you changed a diaper? That's a good point.
That's just why you're allowed to daven and got to do the TSA
diaper. Okay, that's a good point. But why are you allowed to? Why does the Rabbeinu Tam take it as a certainty, and he does correctly because the Gemara says so, why is there a certainty? Because rechitza as being prohibited on Yom Kippur is only rechitza shel ta'anug, pleasurable bathing. But if the bathing is not pleasurable, for pleasurable purposes, then it is not prohibited on Yom Kippur.
Certainly wash your dayim in the morning, because that's not...
That's what Rabbeinu Tam is going to say. This Ruach Ra'ah that Rashi spoke about, that's not... You have to wash your hands in the morning for Ruach Ra'ah, and there is no issue whatsoever. So, if Rashi was concerned that the reason why they said somebody holding food should wash his hands because there is a possibility he didn't wash in the morning, that, says the Rabbeinu Tam, doesn't make any sense to me. Because I know for a fact you will be washing your hands in the morning. Why? Because he says it's not any worse that and you have cement or excrement on your hands. De amrinan shirochets kidarko ve'eno choshesh. There is nothing more dirty than the evil spirit hovering over your hand. Because what have we been told as a child before you wash hands? What don't you do? You don't touch your eyes. You don't. That's what he writes. She'eino yachol liga b'fiv be'einav b'chotmo u'be'aznav. You're not supposed to touch your mouth, your nose, your ears, or your eyes before you wash. Debikulu amrinan, beperek shmeina shvatzim. All of these are mentioned in Masechta Shabbos, the eighth perek of Shabbos. The tikatzeitz yado mishum bat melech. Period. This Ruach that Rashi referred to is called Bat Melech. This Bat Melech is a very powerful demon.
The Ruach Ra is Bat Melech?
That's what Rashi said. That's what Tosfos is saying. And that we know, you are of course allowed to wash your hands. Because if you don't wash your hands and you touch your nose is going to fall off. You touch your eyes are going to pop out. You touch your ears are going to fall off. Okay, I don't know if that really is true. I tend to doubt it. But the Gemara is trying to impress upon us the severity of washing your hands. I, Rabbeinu Tam, say that getting rid of this form of spiritual impurity is not any worse than getting rid of an oil that if you did an oil change on Yom Kippur, you're allowed to wash your hands before you come to say Yizkor. You're allowed to. You're allowed to. So, that could not be what our Gemara is talking about. Because it is impossible that by the time you get to feed the kid, what do you mean, if you didn't wash your hands, says the Rabbi Natan. Of course you wash your hands. That's mandatory and permissible. And permissible. V'shibsa dehacha. So what exactly is the concern about feeding the child that the Gemara now says you must wash your hands? That's got nothing to do. Irrespective of you wash, even if you washed in the morning, you have to be concerned about shibsa. Shibsa dehacha, yesh lefaresh kemo shepiresh Rabbeinu Chananel. Shehu ruach ra'ah hashore al ha'ochel. It's this evil spirit that rests on food. Kishaba litain hapas litinok ben dalid vehe shanim vechoneket oto im lo natal yadav ba'otasha. What is shivsa? Shivsa is a certain type of demon that hovers on bread, and that bread, if the child is, according to the Rabbeinu Chananel, 4 or 5, other Rishonim say it's from 2 months until 7 years old, and the child will choke by eating the bread which you touched unless you washed your hands. That's what the Gemara is talking about. And that has nothing to do with washing your hands in the morning. Even if you wash your hands in the morning, before you touch the bread, you and your kid is between whatever age it is, 4 or 5, or between 2 months and 7 years, you better wash your hands. Better wash your hands. Afal pi shenakal lonu shenakal shachar. Even though you washed your hands in the morning, which of course you did, because it's not considered rechitza shel ta'anug. Why am I washing my hands in the morning? Why? Because I want to get rid of these demons. That's why. And that's not because of pleasure. So asks Tosfos, ma she'ein hanu nizharim achshav. I'm sure we all, I'll include myself, remember when our kids were little pishers and we probably fed them a sandwich on Yom Kippur. Did you remember washing your hands before you handed the bread to the kid?
No.
No.
Well, with soap.
What?
I always wash my hands with soap.
Every single time you handed a sandwich to your son?
100%.
What?
100%.
And washed your hands? Yeah?
No, okay. I'm not.
Okay, because of cleanliness. Okay, fine. So Tosfos says, I haven't found anybody who is careful about the shivsa today. People hand bread and no kid ever died. Soisa says, because lefi she'ein osa ruach ra'ah mitzuya beinenu, because that little demon is no longer in existence. He's not around. Okay? It's not found. We never see it. This little demon is not around anymore. So therefore, we touch bread without necessarily washing our hands. Kimo she'ein anu nizharin ala zugot. Just as we are not concerned about even numbers. There are people, Sephardic Jews, will never eat 2 eggs.
Or bench left on an even number of candles.
Correct. Will never bench left on 2 candles. Either 3 or 1. Because the Gemara in Pesachim tells us there is some type of demon associated with even numbers. So either you eat 1 egg or 3 eggs. Never 2 eggs. So Tosfos, speaking for the Ashkenaz world, says, I never noticed anybody being concerned about zugot any longer. In the Sephardic world, they will tell him, what are you talking about, Mr. Tosfos? Ad hayoyim hazeh. Sephardim don't blow 100 sounds on Rosh Hashanah. They blow 101. 101.
So a
a person who gets married lights him would light one candle. A girl would marry
three.
Oh, three.
One or three,
and
not two.
And you know that's a Mishnah.
Oh, that's a good question. What did he do about Lechem Mishnah? I don't know. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. So that's one thing we don't care about. And then there is another thing. Va'al Hagilui. You know the halacha. The Gemara said if you leave a cup of water unexposed, you're not allowed to drink it. A cup of water. And you walked away for a minute, you can't come back into the room and drink that cup of water.
Really?
Because they were worried about snakes coming up, depositing the venom into the cup, and then you didn't know about it, and you drank it and you died. So there was a halacha called, it was an isur derabbanan against shtiyat gilui, anything that was exposed. Says Tosis, in the 12th century, we're not concerned about gilui any longer. So just as the demon of Gilui and the demon, why? Because there were no snakes living in Mainz, in the Beis Medrash, there were no snakes crawling around.
But that's so, something Sephardis also would do?
No, this has nothing to do with only Sephardim.
Oh.
The superstition. In general, Sephardim are much more superstitious than Ashkenazi Jews. This is all superstitions. Vala Gilui. So just as we don't do that, says Tarsus, Shivso's not with us any longer, and therefore this particular halacha has fallen by the wayside. So now we don't know what the bottom line is.
So do you wash your hands when you...
Correct. So in based on this Gemara, at least in terms of the resolution, we know for a fact that once Abaye answers the question, under those circumstances, we know that there is no attempt to claim that the halacha is what? The halacha is that if you feed somebody, you have to wash your hands. There is no such halacha. The only reason why they considered it that time was because they believed in this demon. In this demon. Yes.
How far in the Tosafot is the quotation from Rabbeinu Hananel?
Just what he says. Until Uma. Until there. That's already Tosis popping up and speaking. Uma she'enanu nizarin bazeh.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Take now.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What's the significance of the triangles?
What triangle? That just happens to be in the Gemara that I photostatted from. There's a commentary, like the art scroll has.
Okay.
So that's the section that's on the next page. Yeah. That's all. They print the same sheet five times. Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. No problem. Now, is there anything that you would have challenged the Gemara's attempt to resolve the question from the story of the Yom Kippur, from the Yom Kippur story? Is there any way in which you would have challenged the Gemara's attempt to resolve the question, do you require Netilat Yadayim for Ma'achil? Looking at the story that the Gemara quoted, what question would you raise knowing what Netilat Yadayim is all about? How do we do Netilat Yadayim? I'll give you one more clue. How do we perform the mitzvah of Netilat Yadayim?
With two hands.
Good, with two hands. Did we ever come across a halacha that if I'm going to hold the bread with only my left hand, I only have to wash my left hand? No. So how is the Gemara attempting to resolve the halachic issue whether or not Ma'achil requires Netilat Yadayim from a story about Yom Kippur that tells the mother to wash how many hands? Only one. Why doesn't Abaye reject it and say, this can't be talking about Netilat Yadayim? Why not? Because it's talking about washing one hand. There must be a different address to it. That's what the Rashba asks. And the Ritva. Let's take a look at the top, page number 2, on the top. Hahu de'ibayalon, that question which we asked, ma'achil tsarich netilat yadayim or lo? Does feeding require netilat yadayim or not? Ve'asinan, we are trying, lemifshite, to resolve that dilemma, miditanya debay minashe, Rab Shimon ben Gamliel omer, madicha isha yada achat b'mayim, v'notenet pat latino. So we tried to resolve it from that case, and Abaye rejected that attempt. Ikon lemeida, one can make the following inference. Ve'i mishum netilat yadayim, if the requirement was that the woman, the mother, has to wash her hands because that's the halacha of netilat yadayim, biyada achat nisagi, does it suffice to fulfill the mitzvah of netilat yadayim? Does it suffice by washing one hand? Of course not. For ha'amrinon begitten ibayilahu yadayim tahorot lachatzain olo. Can you purify your hands in half? In other words, one hand, I'll wash one hand and then eat my sandwich. Heichidam, what does it mean, I'm going to wash my hands in half? Idumashi yada yada. If he is what? Washing his hands one at a time. Because there could have been a hava amina that when you wash the tefillah kedayim, how do you wash them? Two at a time. So the Gemara is asking, what type of a case is that you washed half? I only washed them one at a time? That would mean that in order to eat bread, you would have to have another person around who what? Who washes your hands, but like at the Seder night, somebody comes and washes your hands. But instead of washing one at a time, what would be required? He washes both of them at the same time. And therefore, half would be, you only washed them one at a time.
Or could it be whether you do this, the two like this, or one-to-one like you do
that? It could have been that also, but that's not what the Gemara is thinking at this time. So the Gemara says that's impossible. Why? Tanina, we learned in a Braita. Hanotel yadav achat benetila v'achat b'shtifa yadav taharot. If somebody washes his hands once by washing on a cup and the other one by dipping it in to a pool of water, his hands are tahor. But what did he ultimately with both hands? What did he do with both hands?
Each one got washed.
Ha'yado achas levad b'netila lo. If I only washed one hand, would I fulfill the mitzvah of netilat yadayim? No. So why didn't the Gemara challenge the attempted resolution with that? So all he answers is, you're right, it could have. But Abaye had another reason, that it's based on this demon. But Ein Hachanami, the Gemara could have challenged it based on the fact that it's impossible that this should be dealing with the mitzvah of Netilat Yadayim, because the mitzvah of Netilat Yadayim always requires both hands to be washed, despite the fact that I will what? Hold the bread with only one hand. And in fact, even if you don't hold the bread at all, if you put the bread on a fork, you still have to wash Netilat Yadayim even though you don't touch it. But that's what the Rashba says, that he could have asked it. But the question is a good question. I could have rejected the Gemara without Abaye's insistence that the concern in this particular story was the evil spirit. I could have challenged it based on the law itself, that it would never have been sufficient to fulfill the mitzvah of Netilat Yadayim unless what? Unless what? He washed both hands. And in fact, what about the episode with Shammai the Zaken in light of what we just said? Why did the Chachamim tell Shammai the elder to wash both hands? Why did he tell him to wash both hands, if that's the case? Maybe the Gemara is thinking that it's nothing to do with Shivsa. That what is it? that maybe you do require two hands, and that's why he's telling Shammai, hey buddy, what do you mean you don't even want to wash one hand? Maybe it requires two hands. But then why would the Braita tell the mother only to what? Wash one hand. A little difficult. But that's what the Rashba says. If you go now, the Ritva says that, very, very similar. Go now to Perek, to page number 5. Page 5. Which is the Rambam and Hilchot Tfilah in Perek Zion, Halacha Chet, towards the bottom of the page. The Rambam here is talking about Birchot HaShachar. The brachot which we recite in the morning, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for enabling us to function as a human being. The process from the time of the Gemara and onward was that you didn't make these brachot when you came to shul, but you recited them piecemeal as you engaged in a certain activity. So the Rambam writes, so he told us this in Halacha Zayin. Now he writes in Halacha Ches. Ketza, lun biksuto, if somebody sleeps in his clothing, eino mivarech kishe omeid malbish arumim. You don't say malbish arumim. Why? Because you're already dressed. But you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for enabling me to get dressed. Holeich yofcheif, if you walk around barefoot, eino mivarech she'asita li kol tzarki. She'asa li kol tzarki is a bracha thanking God for shoes. For shoes.
Specifically for shoes?
Yeah. It's a good question. But that bracha is related to shoes. That bracha is, yeah. Mitzade, what's that referring to?
I don't remember.
B'yom HaKippur mebetishavav she'ein shom rechitza eino mivarech netilat yadayim. The Rambam is of the opinion that you don't wash your hands in the morning on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'av, and therefore in the Birchot HaShachar you do not recite al netilat yadayim.
You just
skip the bracha completely. That's correct. That's the Rambam's opinion. Im lo nichnas lebeit hakisei, if you don't go to the bathroom, eino mevarech asher yatzar asa adam. V'chein sha'ar brachot elu. And the same thing is true about all of the other brachot. Fine. Yes.
Apparently the Yemenites still follow the practice of
doing it piecemeal?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that would make sense. After all, they generally follow Rambam. That would make sense. Now, in a situation where you would wash your hands, what would you have expected on Yom Kippur? What would you have expected where if the halacha demands that you wash your hands? You wash your whole hand. So I'm going to ask you, I don't expect you necessarily to know this. Give me a situation where on Yom Kippur, somebody must wash his hands before they do something. Birchat Kohanim. Excellent. Birchat Kohanim, washing is indispensable. How far should a Kohen wash his hands when you don't see it? I know, they go outside. But many Rishonim say, since it's indispensable, you wash your whole hands ad haperek, until the wrist, like you do all the other times. You do. Now take a look at Karo in source number on page number 6. And I want you to offer a solution as to why he says what he does. Note, this is in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim. Notel Adam Yadav Shacharit Umivarech al Netilat Yadayim. In the morning, you wash your hands on Yom Kippur. So already, what has Karo done from his normative approach to halacha?
He's deviated from the Rambam.
Correct. Rambam, we just read, said you don't make it down to Yesh Yadayim on Yom Kippur. So Karo here is deviating from the norm. So much so that he doesn't even quote the Rambam's opinion. Karo often quotes two opinions, one which he accepts the halacha, and the other one is in deference to somebody who is a great authority who I've decided to reject. And he writes, the Yesh Omrim. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, the Yesh Omrim is, if it's one of his three cronies who he generally followed, Rambam, Rif, or the Rush, if one of those three disagreed, he would say, I paskin A, the Yesh Omrim. Here he doesn't even give credence to the Rambam's position that on Yom Kippur you don't watch. But now the Karo adds, V'yizaher shelo yitol ela ad sof kishrei etzbeotav. He should only wash until where? The knuckles. What did Karo do in this? Correct. Find the middle ground. And Karo does this in Shulchan Aruch. This is found incredibly frequently. When there is a debate, and you don't want to paskin like either of them, so you offer a compromise. And many complain that the compromise, as I just said, doesn't really follow either opinion. Right. So you're trying to make both of them happy, and you make nobody happy. Why does it make nobody happy in this case? Because those who hold that you require Netilas Yadayim say that what? Wash your whole hand. Those who say that you don't wash your hands, you don't wash your hands. So how is washing up to the knuckles going to satisfy anybody? Yeah, in theory, it's saying, okay, I'm going to listen to little you, listen to you. That doesn't, and I'll give you another perfect illustration. Each one of our mezuzot, there is a machloikis between the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam, how a mezuzah should be fixed on the door. Rambam says it should be straight up. Rabbeinu Tam says it should lie flat.
And that's why we do.
So the Ramah says, let's make everybody, what?
We do it on a slant.
So everybody believes that the reason why, because we're doing the compromise. That's what the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch say. It's a typical combination to satisfy everybody, whereas in reality, halachically, we don't fulfill the mitzvah according to anybody. It's a very strange, but we do it hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. I once had a tour guide. He was, it was just incredible. And he suggested that the compromise is only found in communities where the Crusades reached. Check this with your husband, please. Where the Crusades reach, because everybody actually paskined like the Rambam, that the mezuzah was straight up. Crusaders would now come to your house and just put a paint, a line right across, and it looked like you have a cross sitting on your door. So in order to avoid the appearance of a cross, they tilted the mezuzah, so even if they put a line through it, that's not a cross. Who knows what it is, but it's not a cross. And he said that in communities where the Crusades had not reached, they still paskin like the Rambam. Sfardim arayom as many Sfardim, my son-in-law, that's the way he puts his mezuzahs, straight up, like the Rambam sheet.
It's very strange. My tourist house is like that also.
Good, okay, because they marry Sfardim. It's straight up, because they don't follow the Ramah. The Ramah is the one who suggests the compromise. And the question is the compromise just a compromise, or does it have other historical antecedents? Mm-hmm. But Sfardim, many Sfardim, put it straight up the way the Rambam suggested. And we know that the Crusades were basically in Ashkenaz, in Europe, not necessarily in Spain or in Sephardic communities in North Africa. And as a result, it makes sense that they would still maintain loyalty to the Rambam's position. But Karo here, our idea of washing till your knuckles is indeed a compromise opinion. But it's one of those compromise opinions that doesn't really satisfy either of the two extremes. Either. But it's something that we have done for hundreds of years. And I am convinced that to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it makes absolutely no difference. As long as we're following a system of halachic development, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care less whether you put the mezuzah this way or that way. He doesn't care less whether we wash at all, or wash fully, or wash until our knuckles. So even though halachically it doesn't satisfy Rambam's position that there is no, Rabbeinu Tam's position that there's full Netilas Yadayim, but if this is the way the Shulchan Aruch says we should do it, so we do it and shine and fine. Yes.
But why within the Kohanim? It doesn't make sense that they are...
Because the Kohanim, we're not dealing with Ruach Ra'ah. You know, evil demons and spirits. We're talking about a din, the Oraisa, perhaps. They're being Mekayim a Mitzvah, and in the Mikdash, and that's where we get the notion of washing with a utensil. Where did all rechitza take place in the Beit HaMikdash? From what? From the kiyor. And the kiyor had a cup, and they drew the water from the kiyor, and they poured it on the hands of the Kahana. On the Kohen Gadol, on Yom HaKippurim, 10 times. He immersed in the mikvah 5 times, and there was what's called Kiddush Yodayim Viraglayim. He washed his feet and his hands 10 times on Yom Kippur. He didn't just stick them in the shower. Somebody poured the water on his hands and on his feet. So our Netilat Yadayim is in effect carrying on the practice of the Kiyor, which took place in Avodah HaMikdash. And since Birchat Kohanim is a remnant of Mikdash, how do I know it's a remnant of Mikdash? Do you happen to notice when in the davening the Kohanim ascend the Bima? A little before that. Right before Ritzei. They have to start getting up. They have to leave their seat by Ritzei. Kol Kohen Shelo Akaraglov, a Kohen who doesn't move when they're about to say Ritzei, Shuv Lo Yaleh. He doesn't go up and Duchen. Because but if he goes out to wash, it means he already started doing something. He'll have to wash right after Kedusha. So, what do we say in Ritzei? V'hashev et ha'avodah l'dvir beitecha. It's a request to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to restore the Avodah and the Mikdash. So in order to demonstrate that Birchat Kohanim is a remnant of Avodah B'Mikdash, the Kohen has to make his move to the Bima at the time when we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for restoration of... And we say when we get to the end of Ritzei, V'seyor ev l'cha asiru aseinu ke'olach u'korban. Ana rachum v'ra hashev shchinatcha l'tzina v'seyder ha'avodah l'Yerushalayim. That's why when we have Birchat Kohanim, we have that added paragraph to emphasize. So Kohanim are supposed to wash their hands in full, and they don't have to worry about it. It's not rechitza shel ta'anug. It's not pleasurable bathing. And... under those circumstances, we understand why they do it. And in fact, the Karo actually tells us that a Kohen, even though his hands are perfectly clean, even though he washed before davening, even though he did everything before Birchat Kohanim, he has to go out and wash. There's only one person that we say will allow him to wash before in the middle. If the Shleach Tzibur is a Kohen. So he's supposed to go out right before Chazar Sashatz and wash his hands and then take off his shoes before Shimon Esrei, daven in socks, and then when it comes time, he leaves the Bima and goes up and recites Birchat Kohanim. This is one difference between Rinat and Bnei Yeshurun. Bnei Yeshurun will not allow a Kohen to daven Musaf on Yom Tov or Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. because they will not, there might be a chiyuv for him to duchen, and they don't want him to move in the middle. And Shulchan Aruch it says that at the time when you didn't have a machzor, that you, a kohen who is the shleach tzibur should not duchen unless he was the only kohen around, because he's going to forget how to get back to the davening. He's going to be so busy with Berachas Kohen, he's going to forget to say, oh, sim shalom, tova uvracha. Today when we have a machzor, of course there's no problem. So therefore we allow kohanim to daven, and then they go ahead. They, Avi Katz is a kohen, and he goes ahead and goes up and does Berachas Kohanim, and somebody else is the makri. That's all. Yeah.
Just parenthetically, that practice in B'nai Ashurim goes back 40 years that I can vouch for.
100%. Was Rabbi Gordon's...
Yeah.
No doubt. Yes. That was one of his strong things. And a lot of Balei Tefila Kohanim were not happy with that decision. Not happy. Yes.
Rabbi Adler, what's the reason anybody would hang themselves this way? What was the reasoning on that?
Because Rabbi Elatam said so. That that's the way you why does the Rambam say it should be stood up? I don't know.
I just see it's more respectful to be straight up.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you. Yeah. So according to many, the Marshal, I believe, explains to Rabbeinu Tam that it's supposed to be symbolic of the fact that your home is where you retire. You go to sleep. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your protection while you're sleeping. During the day, you can take out your gun and shoot somebody if somebody's trying to enter. But at night, that's one of the explanations of the Rabbeinu Tam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting you while you're in the sleeping position. All right, we'll stop here. Continue next to Vach.
No problem being fed the challah.
I just
every week.
I thought it was like practice.
No problem being.